Hey everyone, I've got something special for you today. Today's episode is the entire meetup I hosted at the Rise Conference last year. I'm going to teach you the fastest way to make money and how it only takes 17 and a half years to be known as an overnight success. Text me your favorite takeaway from today's episode at 949-298-2905 and let me know if you enjoyed this full-length meetup so I can give you some more. Remember, join me every Friday for free training. You can text me or email me at david@dmeltzer.com. See you soon.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
So some of you probably wonder, like, what the hell am I doing here? So we do meetups everywhere that we go for two reasons. One, answer questions, but also to give help. And when I say that, it's a matter of, this is a lot of energy and a lot of help that you don't even realize exists. Sometimes I do exercise where I'll have someone ask, hey, what do you need? And then you'll see how easy it is when you ask people, hey, do you know anyone that can help me? Just as an example of how quickly you can get things done to accelerate what you want, which is most people want two things, one to be happy, two to help other people. It's really not that complicated, but we make it so much more complicated because we have the nuance of our ego consciousness and our truth consciousness that creates these fears, anxieties that really don't allow us to work towards our truth. Does anyone have a particular question? Because I'm sure I can turn it and we all can learn from it.
Yeah, this is from Imran in London. He's asked, how do you assess business partners to work with?
Okay, how do I assess business partners? First of all, in a partnership, my dad gave me a piece of advice. Some of you may have heard it. Number one, don't get in a partnership. Two, if you do get in a partnership, make sure your partner has more money than you. And three, if you don't listen to one or two, go back to one. In a business sense though, with partners, channel partners, other partners, what I look for, number one, is alignment with my values. I do the same thing with employees. I do have partners in my business. In fact, my main business, Sports One Marketing, my partner's a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I look for an alignment in values and then also a complementary skill set and knowledge. I don't want overlap. I want, you know, even in my marriage, I want my wife to be good at things I'm not, right? The things that you'll find in a relationship, whether it's business or an intimate relationships, the things that most drive you crazy about your partner are probably the things you need the most in your partner. You know, if you're OCD, anal retentive, very neat, you know, you need someone more creative that's gonna leave the shoes out and do all those other things because that part of you is missing. So what are those values? I've rarely narrowed down to four values that I would seriously consider change my life. One is you want to work with gracious people. If you don't have gratitude as a perspective, then you're just going to live and generate negativity. You're going to have negative energy, resistance, void, shortages, obstacles at all time. If you have a partner that's looking at things critically but being grateful for them, you know, whether it's a business or a person, you're way better off. Two, maybe this is particular to me, but I need a forgiving partner. Anybody here make a mistake? Anyone here make a mistake this morning? Obviously I did, I was late. It's amazing to me as I reflect back on my life, business and personal, how much time, resources, energy, emotion, money I lost because I couldn't forgive myself. You can't give what you don't have. So if your partner doesn't have forgiveness for themselves, they won't be able to forgive you. Same lessons. You haven't learned the lesson yet. So wake up. If you keep seeing the same lesson appear, the same person you're dating, the same business problems, those are lessons. And if you haven't learned them, they'll keep coming. It's guaranteed. That's all life is about, is lessons. But also remember that you have the capability more than ever to remember any lesson at any time. Especially if you forgive yourself, you're grateful, be accountable. Accountability is not liability in business. So I live in two different worlds. I live in a pragmatic world where money's my currency. Money is my currency. Money doesn't buy happiness, but it allows me to shop. And if I shop for the right things, I'll be happy. That's my relationship to money. I try to make as much money as I can without any type of resistance or guilt or resentment or offense or separateness, inferiority or superior, because I have justified in my mind that everything comes through me for other people. So the more I can get, the more people I can help. Most people like to give, right? All you guys like to give, makes you feel good. Most people don't know how to receive. That's their biggest problem. They limit themselves. They're afraid to receive. They feel they're not worthy. They create resistance. They're truly, people say, I'm afraid of success. I don't think people are afraid of success. They're actually afraid to receive. They feel bad about receiving. They're afraid to ask for help. They're afraid to ask big. They don't feel deserving of it. They're afraid to risk what it takes because they're afraid to ask big. That all stems from accountability. Liability is different, right? We have a pragmatic world with laws. So somebody hits you from behind in your car, I'm not saying don't go ahead and use your insurance. They're still liable, right? In business, somebody owes you money, they're liable. You're accountable, right? It's a difference. They're liable. You live at this vibration. Go ahead, collect your money, but you're accountable. How did I attract this situation into my life? What am I supposed to learn from it? Because if I learn from it, the lesson won't come again, especially if I don't want it. The higher level of currency is faith. Faith is taking control of what we think, say, do, and believe, as well as understanding our unconscious competencies, your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions. You can actually activate your DNA. If you wonder why some people can heal stage 4 cancer and some people can't with the exact same treatment, I truly believe that they have faith. It's what they think, say, do, believe in a consistent, focused manner in order to effectuate in activating certain DNA that exists and deactivating it. I think you can do the same thing with financial success, with relationship success. These are things that you control through consistent behavior. Consistent behavior is essential. It creates two things in your life. It goes through the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. You cannot change your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, or addictions without consistent behavior. Those things create an energy that is a higher level of attraction, but it all happens from action, right? The law of Goya, get off your ass. That's the first step. The law of attraction is the second step. And then the law of surrender is the third step, which is a hyper-aggressive state. What's the law of surrender and how does it work? It's to get us out of our ego consciousness. So you need to define your ego, need to be right, need to be offended, need to be separate, inferior, superior, offensive, guilty, angry, frustrated. Anything that creates resistance in your life, you have to be aware of it. We accelerate through those fear-based emotions, which puts us not only off our path or trajectory, but creates even a farther void, right? A farther resistance, because we get so far off of the trajectory because we accelerate into fear. Fear, some of you have heard this from me, fear is a very confusing thing. It's a conflictual thing because most people are motivated by fear. Whether they admit it or not, they get things done because they're afraid they're going to meet a deadline, they're afraid of something. They're motivated by fear. They're motivated by anger and frustration. These are all fear-based conscious behaviors. But here's what's confusing about fear. Fear does not motivate you. It's the biggest soul sucker on earth. It'll take all of your literally passion away. It is not inspiration. It's a depreciator. Fear is a depreciator. But what it does do that confuses us is it hyper-focuses us. Fear focuses us. I use the example all the time. If you don't think fear focus, watch the old lady, right? The grandmother that gets so afraid, picks up the car to save a child. How could that be possible? Fear is not motivating her. It's creating hyper-focus that's creating an incredible force of energy. That's all it is. It's creating an incredible. So why not figure out how do I substitute fear, a depreciator, with inspiration to keep myself consistent every single day, working with the cellular memory that I have that then feeds the brain. So there's 10,000 new data points a day, 10,000 new thoughts you get a day. You better control what you're feeding yourself. Control what you think, say, and do. Tell yourself, I have faith in this. I'm going to program myself so that the neural pathways, the 40,000 of the same thoughts I have every day in my subconscious are telling me you can do it. I'm grateful. I'm forgiving. I'm accountable. I can do this. There's more than enough of everything for everyone. There's not a scarce universe. I'm going to elevate others to elevate myself. That's what's going to be created. All of these things exist in your subconscious. That's what's going to activate and deactivate your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addiction, your DNA, which will then shoot out a signal, a stronger signal, a wider signal, and a clearer signal to attract what you want. It's math to me. And it works in any realm. It can work at a lower vibration, one in which you want to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun with your life. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. Just try to shop in the right places for it. The other currency of the universe is faith, right? It's just an object of energy you put into the flow to get what you want. right? At the lower vibration, the one we all live at, where the lessons keep on coming until we learn them, the ones we're going to forget and the ones we have capability to remember, currency is money, right? I put my black card into an Amazon thing, boom, I manifest what I want, right? If I have Prime, it comes in 2 days or 1 day. If I don't, it comes a little longer. Same thing with faith. You hold a black card of faith, right? Have a black card of faith. Shit'll come fast and you can get more of it, right? Most people, they're afraid to have a black card of faith, right? I got the green card. I'll wait for it to come, create all these things. Yes, Anna.
Keep that faith within yourself, though. That's very...
Practice, right? How do we keep anything? How do we stay consistent? How do we keep the faith in ourselves? You have to practice. You have to raise your awareness of when I'm in an ego-based consciousness, because the ego-based consciousness will create resistance, voids, and shortages. That fear will literally stop. So how do I do that? Number one, I have to define those places. Because it's an accelerator, our ego, our ego-based consciousness, I use what I was taught. My mind, my body, and my soul are on fire when I'm afraid, right? When I'm angry, frustrated, fearful, all of those things happen. My mind, body, and soul are on fire. I'll give you an example. Some of you look like you might be parents or grandparents even, hopefully. You know, you walk outside at 4 a.m. on a weekend and you don't see your 17-year-old daughter's car outside, you can immediately go into a fear-based consciousness, right? Your ego, it immediately does what? Number one, you're terrified, but you get angry, right? This is where parents make their biggest mistakes. Right, we ruin relationships, and same with business people. They ruin relationships for the wrong reasons when they should be able to figure out this fire that they're in. So I come outside, I don't see my daughter's car, 17 years old. Initially, I grab my phone. I'm about to call and scream at her, probably swear at her. I feel the fire, my mind, body, and soul on fire. What do? I was taught if you ever catch on fire, does anyone know what you do? Stop, drop, and roll. So I stop instead. I put down the phone. I drop my blood pressure. I drop to center, which is why to me, meditation is a daily activity. So I know where my peace is. I know where center is. Because I don't want to think in this. I don't want to end up way out here in my relationship, especially with my daughter, because that's a sacred one for me. But I would have, as a young father, I would have been out here. But instead, I stop, drop, and roll, put myself on the trajectory of where I want to be. I breathe. I say to myself, why am I so mad? And then I rationalize and say, I'm not mad. I'm afraid something's happened to my baby, right? So what do? I use that energy. Now I'm calm. Hey, my daughter answers, hello? I was like, where are you? In my room. Where's your car? Oh, it's parked at the grocery. Kids were drinking. You told me if everybody was drinking that it was no problem. I could just pay for an Uber for everyone. Oh, I'm so sorry for waking you. Thanks. Think about where my relationship went with my daughter, right? My relationship went right to the trajectory in which I want it to be, right? We have a relationship built on trust, on love, on at least me caring. She wasn't mad at me for calling because she knew I was calling because I cared. But where would it gone with most parents? Where are you? Where the fuck are you? I'm at home. What are you doing? Where's your car? Right, but next thing you know, then she'll, next time people are drinking, she's not going to take an Uber home. And then you wonder why your life and your relationship and your daughter's life and the early, what lessons are we learning? Why the, you know, it's math. Stop, drop, and roll. And that's true in business. We do that with fear all the time. You start putting faith in that I don't have enough, right? I don't have enough. This is too hard. I need more funding. It's not going to come. It's not happening fast enough. You're just slowing it down. The minute you put faith in this isn't happening fast enough, you are slowing it down. Focus in on, man, I'm accelerating and growing. The people who are most successful in the world that have hockey sticks in their life are focused on acceleration and growth. Because our minds don't work in the way that if it takes us 10 years to get to 25%, it's only going to take us 5 years more to get to 50%, 2.5 years more to get to 100%, 1.75 years to get to 400, 800, 1600. No, our mind, after 10 years and 25%, 99% of us quit. Too many people in our lives are telling us we're going down the wrong path, we're losers. Meanwhile, I see exponential growth and acceleration in my business in 10 years. And then at 50% of the 1%, another 99% quit because things get really hard. I'm only halfway there. It's been 15 years. Meanwhile, in the next 4 years before I'm 40 years old, I'm going to be at 200% of my goal, and people are going to be like, he's so lucky. He's an overnight success. I don't know any overnight successes. Most of them, I thought I had one. One of my friends, Rob Angel, he created Pictionary. And for some reason, I wasn't listening to him. And I thought he was an overnight success. And then I found out after interviewing him that it was 17 years. And he goes, yeah, overnight success. Try standing at the escalator for, you know, 3 years, handing out things at the Nordstrom's, making no money, owing your uncle money, everybody telling you you're wasting your life because you're trying to make millions of dollars with a piece of paper and a pencil. Now he's one of the luckiest people we know. You know, what are you willing to do? Are you going to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent pursuit of your potential? Are you going to do it? You're not going to do what you love. Nobody does what they love. They learn to love what you do. It's a completely different thing. We're romanticizing somehow, right? This passion and purpose and this entrepreneurial thing. That's bullshit. Like literally, entrepreneurship's about making a shitload of money. We live at this vibration. And if you make a lot of money, then go ahead and apply your passion and purpose into making the money. Learn to love what you do. Anyone here can give me anything and I will love what I do. I was so desperate when I was in law school. I remember praying to God, right? I have a single mom. I took $100,000 law loans in the recession, and I had gotten job offers to sell, you know, golf clubs in Japan. And I'm like, what am I doing? Right? And I remember praying to God saying, God, if you let me pay off my law loans, buy my mom a house and a car, I will shovel shit with my hands 6 days a week, 12 hours a day with purpose and passion. I'll learn to love what I do because that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. Just to have my mom safe, right? For me not to have those loans. That's really, did I love selling legal research? No, but I learned to love it. And I got really good at it. My first 9 months, how did I make $1 million? Because I outperformed everyone 3-1. So a normal comp plan that was gonna be between $200,000 or $300,000 was $1 million for me in 9 months. I just beat people with math. I wasn't the best salesperson. I believed in availability and numbers, right? I stayed really focused every day and said, man, okay, these guys are all married. They have kids. They've made six figures in their life. They're not where I am. What if instead of working 8 hours, I work 16, right? And what if I can become twice as efficient as them? So now my 16 hours of productivity become 32 hours. And what if through availability and practice, I can be more statistically successful? So whether it's seeing 20 people in a day and closing 2 out of 10 or just closing 4 out of 10, be more statistically successful. Now I can get 64 hours of productivity in a day and I'm gonna work 7 days a week. So people's like, oh yeah, you were a millionaire 9 months out of law school. Do the math. It was equivalent to like 9 or 10 years of productivity. I just did it in 9 months. I beat them with math. I do the same thing with my life right now. Most critical piece of advice I can give you about pragmatic time management is be a student of your calendar. Look at your calendar and study it with a lens of productivity and accessibility. Ask yourself, how productive am I with my time? I have certain rules. My objective of every phone call so I can be accessible is I try to keep every phone call under 5 minutes. My objective with every meeting I do, I try to do with 20 minutes. Why do I do these meetups? Because people are pounding me to meet with me, et cetera. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna handle it all at once in 1 hour because I can't stay in Hong Kong long enough to meet with you for as long as I'd like to meet. But I'll make myself accessible to all of you. DM me, I will personally DM you back. And if you dare say that I'm a bot because it's a little cryptic or a little off, it's because I'm being accessible to everyone. I'll send you a video and it won't be pretty because most likely it'll be me without my shirt on in bed. So this is me.
But on that note, David, yes, I have a question on sports marketing.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are building one championship, which is Asia's fastest growing sports property. I hope you had dinner.
Misha, I did. I had Misha.
I think the question I have is, how do you see the nascency of sports marketing in Asia? Because we face this day in day out when we work with brands. We don't understand this maybe yet. Would love to have some thoughts.
So MMA is probably the fastest growing sport in Asia, which is ironic because it's created from Asian culture, not Brazilian culture. All sports, the magic of all business is you have to communicate. People buy on emotion for logical reasons. In order to monetize emotions, there's two areas that I found that are the most irrational. meaning people will pay an extended or exponential value to that emotional attachment. Number one's your children. I've seen moms starve themselves to pay for violin lessons and quarterback lessons and soccer. Starve themselves, literally. It doesn't make sense to me, but you will do crazy shit for your kids. Attached to that is sport, right? I will never starve because I know so many athletes, I'll just go grab some stuff and get it signed and sell it on eBay, right? If I really want just to make straight money, that's because I know there's idiots out there that if I can get Ronaldo's signature, a Messi's signature, or Danica Patrick's signature, that they'd be willing to do it. And all those people are my friends, so they'll sign them for me. You need to communicate to the corporations that you have an attachment, that it's not rational. So don't look at it from what you learned at business school at Harvard, Penn, Columbia, Oxford, University School of Economics. They're not going to teach you that. They'll teach you why this is going to take a long time. And this is why, you know, they paid billions of dollars for the UFC, right? Why did they do that? Because there's nothing that has an emotional attachment right now than MMA. It's so emotionally charged. And if you learn to monetize it, and if you learn to organically and authentically, what does organically and authentically mean, by the way? Right? Does anybody ever hear that in marketing now? We got to be organic and authentic. All it means is truth, right? You fucking got to be truthful, which is really hard for me because one of the unconscious competencies that I have being a great salesperson and born in a lineage of that behavior is that the thing I hated about my dad was he's a king of bullshit. Overseller, back-end seller, liar, and manipulator. He could sell ice to Eskimos. Guess what I inherited? The exact same program. Until I learned to live as close as I can to the truth. Do I do it all the time? No. I lie. One of the few people will tell millions of people, Dave Meltzer's a liar. Not everything I say is true. Sometimes I lie to think I help people. Sometimes I lie to my kids to think to protect them. Sometimes I oversell in business because I know I can deliver on the back end. That's called back end. Sometimes I do that. But I know one thing authentically. What really resonates with people, what vibrates with people, is the truth. The truth. So illuminate the truth. Illuminate the bad parts of the MMA and the good parts of the MMA. People are going to resonate and they're going to like it more. They're going to like it more. Remember vibration. Everything vibrates. Earth vibrates the slowest. Plants, animals, humans, sound, light, and then thought. What thought vibrates the fastest? Hey, Brandon. What thought vibrates the fastest? The truth. The truth vibrates the fastest. We can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. So if you're vibrating at the truth, if your message, your content, your product, your service, your solution is at a truthful level or a higher potential than others, more people will be aware. That's what creates a stronger signal, a wider spectrum, meaning more channels, more people, more types of people can be attracted to MMA, and then the clarity of the signal. When people say it's not what I say, it's how I say it, that's what they're talking about, is they're trying to communicate the truth. They're trying to resonate with someone so it moves them. I can talk about gratitude, something that everybody here has learned at a very, very, very young age. Probably one of the first things you learn is to be thankful, to say thank you, right? A truth, but yet you have the capability of forgetting everything at any time. Every day I forget thank you. Think about how many times in one day you forget one of the best lessons in life. Just thank you. Sometimes I get stopped at a red light. Sometimes I'm 7 minutes late for a meetup and I'm not grateful, right? Instead I'm thinking, oh shit. Right now, what am I doing? I'm creating resistance. I'm slowing things down, right? Instead of putting faith and saying, God, I'm so grateful that these people are going to wait for me because I have something to share. I'm going to elevate other people today and help them, and they're going to help me. My signal strengthened when I share my signal. When you give something away, it strengthens you. If you don't believe it, take the highest on the chart of vibration. When you share your ideas, you are strengthened. So why would money be any different? It's just an energy. So lower vibrating energy than the truth of a thought, but it's an energy. We want to give it away the same way we share our ideas. We want to share what we have. All you're doing is making room for more for you, and then you got to ask and receive with no guilt, no resentment, no offense, whatever it may be. More questions.
Would you say that's how you increase frequency that we vibrate at?
Great. So great question. How do we increase our vibration? So practice. I use Theta meditation as a practice. It's what the shamans use years and years in India. The universe expands and accelerates, right? So what used to take 20 years in a mountain, you now can do in 20 minutes, right? We're vibrating so much faster. There's so many more people, so much more energy. We're expanding and accelerate. Remember, this world, this pragmatic world we live in, it's spinning and hurling right now at an extraordinary speed. You don't even feel it. Yeah.
You work in the beauty industry. Do you have any advice for marketers in the beauty industry?
Absolutely. So we work in the beauty industry as well with some of the biggest companies. So as we go down the charts from kids into sports, the next emotional attachment is vanity. And it used to only be women. Right now, thanks to these handsome young men over here, right, it's vanity of men. There's men eye cream and hair transplants and eye lifts and guys go to Botox and fragrances. You know, it's not just, you know, the bar of soap and Old Spice. You know, men will actually spend money on things. So how do we do that? We address the emotional attachment of vanity, right? We want you to feel good about yourself. That's what you're selling to. So people buy on emotion for logical reasons. I say there's six steps to selling anything, so I'll save every single different industry how to do it. Number one, have credibility. How do we have credibility? Try to project the truth, the authentic value of what you're doing. Have credibility. Illuminate the mistakes that you've made, project the truths that you have. Credibility is number one, because if you have credibility, you have a stronger signal. Two, emotional attachment. So play towards, you know, this is going to help your kids. This is going to be an incredible experience in sports. This is going to make you feel good, smell good, you know, your hair look pretty, whatever it is. Three, quantify the reasons now. Now that we're credible and have an emotional attachment, quantify the reasons with money, right? Work at it. Be able to articulate and carry an energy that there is true value here quantitatively. If you dress nice, for example, it's statistically shown that you will make more money, get a job. These are quantifiable reasons that I want to buy your beauty stuff, whatever it may be, whatever industry. Two, a quantitative impact. So what else happens in your life? Quantitatively, like I put it to money. Like quantitatively, you know, if you smell good, you might actually get a companion or get more chances to have a companion, and then you go have an intimate relationship where you might have kids, and this will probably impact your life tremendously with extraordinary value. Or you might get someone's attention, right? I believe in asking and attracting every day, asking people, how can I be of value, or how can you help me? Meaning, do you know anyone that can help me? Those simple questions you need to ask every single day. That's how you quantify the impact. And then finally, quantify your capabilities, because when you quantify your capabilities, two things will happen. One, you'll know what you're truly giving, and two, you'll know who can help you. Because if you're missing, as you go down the capabilities, oh geez, there's a capability I want, or even worse, need. Now I can quantify that and say, gosh, I need a new spray top on my perfume. It's a capability, a quantified capability. But if you can go through that exercise, credibility, emotional attachment, quantify reasons, quantify impact, quantify capability. Now comes the last part, the sixth step. It's the value justification. What does that mean to me? Everything has a value justification. I'm trying to see what I have on me. I don't. There's what I call the 120 rule. Do I know the 120 rule? 120 rule is I wake up every morning and I dream in my room. My room's full of $100 bills. And my job during the day to be productive and accessible is to give away a $100 bill. And if I had my wallet, I would do this. I apologize. I would give you $100 and ask for $20 back. Now, that practice is pragmatic, but the energy, the reason I, in my head, practice it in the morning is because I want to know what it feels like in my soul. Why? Because if I carry that energy, that gives me more credibility. We believe people that believe in themselves. People are attracted to someone that's confident, that says to themselves, I'm carrying $100 of value and I'm only asking for $20 back. Here's my credibility. Here's my emotional attachment, the reasons, impacts, and capability. You need to be able to ask every time, can you see any reason you wouldn't want to move forward? Answer that question about your business today. Be the most critical buyer of your service solution or product. Can you see any reason I won't want to move forward? I know that I'm on target when people ask me. I do it in my executive coaching, right? I do it all the time. They'll say, where's the catch? Does anybody not do this? Now you've hit all the marks. I'd rather than be skeptical, this is too good to be true, which by the way is another law of mine. If it's too good to be true, it is. Saddest thing about that rule is I have lost millions of dollars and I still fall into that trap sometimes. If we can detach that ego-based emotion, that excitement from our pragmatic business thinking, one of the things I did after I lost all my money was study how to keep your money. And one of the things that I learned was to emotionally detach myself for the distribution of my money. So I don't make a logical decision. So what do? Then I just create a percentage chart of distribution. This percentage goes to my wife, this percentage goes to my kids, this percentage goes to my mom, this percentage goes to the other relatives I have, this percentage goes to my business, this goes to my community, this goes to my country, and this goes to the world. Now, when I'm attacked every day in the chaotic world, maybe when I'm a little bit off center, I don't have to be emotional. I simply can look down a chart and say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have that in my budget today. Right? Because my percentage of distribution is already set. It's so easy. And then you're not making dumb mistakes. We can take our emotions out of things, look at it logically, and enjoy the journey of figuring it all out. And percentages don't create limitations. So don't tell yourself, I need to make $1 million by the end of the year. I want to make $1 million. Always tell yourself, I want to make twice as much money as fast as I can. I want to make more than this. When I put time limits on certain things I do, so every day, a minimum of an hour a day on my health, a minimum of 30 minutes a day with my wife, a minimum 30 minutes with my 9-year-old, a minimum of 2 minutes a day with my teenage daughters. I asked for 5, they gave me 2. And it's a struggle, right? Minimum of 1 minute a day with my mom to make sure she knows I love and appreciate her. These are actual things that I do. And it's not an OCD controlled thing. It actually is focus. It's substituting fear. Instead, I'm in a clear consciousness of having a pragmatic way of developing productivity and accessibility so I can accelerate and grow, knowing that my chart at the end of the day isn't some outcome, right? It's this, I'm looking at, man, was I happy all day long? And how much did I produce? How much value? And how accessible was I? Being accessible to other people, but accessing what I want. Why? So I can make it more accessible to other people. Yes.
Actually, I was thinking about how can I overcome fear? Like, it's something, let's say, I know people keep talking about how you just get over it, but then what if this is something that you've grown up with?
Yeah.
And it's like basically in your DNA.
Great question. Yeah, great. That's a great question because I dealt with that conflict. How do you overcome fear? It's built into my DNA. There's a guy, Aubrey Marcus, who's extraordinary brain thought leader. And I said, I don't get it because I know pragmatically, logically, when I'm in fear-based consciousness, but I still can't go to bed. I'm still worried. I know I shouldn't be worried. I know it's a wasted emotion. Why am I still worried? Right? Even in my mind, I'm not worried, but my body feels worried. I can't go to bed. I'm obsessing on that same problem. How does this happen? It's in my DNA. You cannot overcome your ego. People ask me if I had one wish in the world. I know what that wish would be. It's not for world peace, because I got a better solution. It's egoectomy. I would give everyone an egoectomy and allow them to live in truth. There would be no world peace problem, trust me. There'd be no disease, no destruction, no peace problem. There'd be enough of everything for everyone. Without ego, there's more than enough of everyone. We'd be harnessing a field of intention that we can't even imagine. But you're not going to get an egoectomy. I haven't figured it out. Nobody else has. So what do? The best that we can, right, to practice reactivating, deactivating, activating our cellular structure, our DNA, so we don't worry as much, that we recover faster. My litmus test is how quickly do I go back to center? Not just mentally back to center, but there's a biochemical reaction that occurs when you step outside and don't see your 17-year-old's car at 4 a.m. There's a biochemical reaction that occurs that's beyond just the fear. There's like adrenaline, and that's what creates, you know, that harnessing of power to lift a car. Well, you don't want to take the power of lifting a car and leash it out on your daughter. So I've taught myself, I practice not only getting back to center as quick as I can, mentally, spiritually, but physically. Right? Physically, I learned to breathe, learn to stretch, get into a place of darkness so I can, in physical darkness, so I can be the light. I've learned to pray for people's happiness. I've learned to go to understanding instead of attack. These are all things. It still takes me time. I am afraid every day. I'm angry every day. I'm frustrated every day. I'm sad every day. I'm fearful every day. Just not nearly as much as most people. And it doesn't go on months on the same issue. I learned my lesson. I get everything back into center and I find the light in it. I look for understanding and I pray for its happiness. One particle of light will overcome a million particles of darkness. I live in a mathematical universe. I know the power. I know it, but like you, I'm going to forget every lesson that I learned, but I have the power to remember it. It's how often can I remember it, put it into action, and get myself back on the trajectory in which I want to go in an accelerated growth path. And now some of you may be sitting there going, this is woo-woo. Right? This is woo-woo spiritual. I am telling you, this is math. And I'm more than happy to show you. Ask me a business question. I'll tell you specifically how it applies to, finding a partner, how it applies to distribution and marketing and whatever. It does. I will tell you, study history. I study history still today. I asked my mom years ago, why do you want me to study history? You tell me not to stumble on the roadblocks behind me. Now you have me focusing on the past. She said, but not your past. Don't focus in on your past. Focus in on everybody else's past, because what are you going to learn? Human nature. Human nature never changes. And if you can have a PhD in human nature, you will be able to have whatever you want, because you'll be able to help other people get what they want. That's what being an entrepreneur is about. It's about managing your time, helping other people get what they want, and making money from it. If you don't want to make money, you're not an entrepreneur. You can be an innovator, humanitarian, philanthropist. I'm cool with that. If that's your journey, that's what you want. But if you seriously are a business person, an entrepreneur, then be all about making that energy and doing really good things with it. Shop with it, right? Buy community centers, help people, support your family. There's nothing wrong with distributing your wealth from those most relative to you to those least relative to you, but distribute it. You are blessed when you have enough where a small percentage is distributed out into Africa with people that you don't even know to impact the entire world. That's blessed. Right? That's blessed to me, because if I can afford 2 community centers last year for people that I don't know in the Masamari and the Bagani, then imagine what I can do for the people that are most relative to me. In my home, in my neighborhood, in my country. That's what we do. And hopefully we're shopping for the right things, where you're impacting people so that we're able to buy water and financial literacy, books, right? All these different things that we can do for people that will impact generations to come. Why did I buy a community center in Africa? I'll tell you why. I'm the chairman of Unstoppable because I have 3 teenage daughters. And when I learned about how in Africa, in the 9th grade, most women literally are circumcised and married off to guys my age, what's that going to do to the world? Right? What's my mission? I want people to be happy. I said yesterday, I saw a report in America. People on average are happy in America 15 days a year. Yet everybody wants to move to America. We got a happiness problem. People are killing themselves. 50 and under, it's one of the most popular ways of dying is suicide, 50 and under. 35 and 50 year olds, you would think they would have learned enough lessons not to kill themselves. Let alone the opiate addiction problem that occurs because people aren't happy and they're looking for a quick fix, just like dieting, right? No, enjoy the pursuit of your potential. That's what's gonna get you off. That's what's gonna inspire you. I am happy 365 days a year, not 24 hours, but I'm happy 365 days of the year. Because if I'm not happy, I'm gonna change my direction. I'm not going in that direction anymore. And this might sound a little bit off on the business side, but I'm telling you, if you go to the richest men on earth, you read Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, through history, the greatest business people in the world, they all subscribe to this philosophy of energy and abundance. They all do. They create abundance for themselves because of a belief, or because of a faith. They don't all shop for the right things with it, but they definitely have faith in what they want, what they think, what they say, what they do. I can teach you to be efficient with your time, be a student of your calendar, do it now, right? Little things. If you aren't doing things now, you don't get time. Whatever occurs in your life, ask yourself simply, can I do it now? If you can do it now, you'll just save at least twice the amount of time and be far more statistically successful. If you can't do it now, find a repository so you have a folder or something on your phone of all the things that you can't do now. And then in the white space of your calendar, when you're studying your calendar, go ahead and chart in, do it now time. Go to your folder, prioritize it by what's most important, and do it. It's amazing. I remember being a sales guy and someone would give you, you know, call me back in a month, like a really big opportunity. And then the night before I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna call that guy. I can't believe the month is finally here. And then the whole day goes by and I don't call that guy. I know everybody here has done something like that. The one thing we've been waiting for, we forgot. Why is that? Because we are so far in our own way. Not only do we have to have a spiritual, enlightened way of thinking of things to get out of our ego consciousness, we actually have pragmatic ways of doing it. We have to be reminded, remember, every lesson we're gonna forget, no matter what, at one time or another. So the more systems that we have in place to remind us of the lessons, the better you're gonna be. You need to remind yourself. I have systems all over the place. I have people that give me 5-minute warnings. I have a written calendar. I have alerts coming on my phone. I have alerts coming on my email through Outlook. And still, believe it or not, I forget. I miss a call. Then I created systems of the what if I miss a call. How can I efficiently do that, right? So many people, let's set up a Zoom call. Let's have a conference call. One of the big New York guys today is pinging me. He's like, hey, I need to talk to you. I know your 5-minute rule. Should I set up a conference bridge? I'm like, why? Why? So one of us can wait for the other? Because unless somehow we have complete synchronicity, you set up a Zoom call, you set up a conference call, a bridge, whatever, for one person or let alone two people, because almost every cell phone has conference call capabilities, you're a moron. You don't appreciate your time. Take control of what you're doing, your time. Be productive and accessible. Call somebody. I'll call you. Somewhere around 3 o'clock, I will call you and give you 5 minutes of time and I'll conference in Miriam. Meanwhile, Miriam can stay productive till that phone rings. You can stay productive till the phone rings. And I can stay productive until I control the dialing. Instead of you waiting for you and where's Dave and this, is it working? And all this energy, void, shortages, obstacles. How many times a day do you create bullshit out of yourself because you think you got to use Zoom or a conference bridge? That's not productive and accessible. Think about things in this term with true lens, including your personal stuff. Who wants to be productive with their intimate relationships? I do, right? I do, I look at it and tell myself every day, I want my kids to know I'm there. I want my wife to know. I want to be connected to them. 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a weekend. Especially if your kids are under 13, 6 minutes a day is way better than a 6-hour Saturday with your kid. I promise you. Same thing in business. You want to get something done, use the substitute of focus to do it every single day. And watch how hard it is to do every day. Watch how hard it is to do every day. Right? If any of you can literally DM me for 30 straight days, I will coach you for free for a month. Charge most people between $5,000 and $50,000 to do that. That's how confident I am. I will coach you. That means you have access to my inner circle relationships. That means I will have focus calls with you and I'll be on call from 4 a.m. to 11 p.m. I'll do that for you. But you got to somehow DM me for 30 straight days that you're grateful. It'll change your life. The thing is, I'm so confident that by tonight, half of you won't DM me. By tomorrow morning, another half. And within 3 days, almost every one of you will forget. Because you don't have the systems in place. You don't have. The lessons will keep on coming, but you're gonna forget them at one time or another, especially during a 30-day period. I would stand on stage and teach people the easiest way to change your life. I've studied physics, quantum physics, metaphysics, been with the world thought leaders like Bob Proctor, Jack Canfield, like extraordinary people, Reverend Beckwith, Deepak Chopra. All of them tell me gratitude is the key, it's the highest vibrating thing next to love, gratitude is love, blah, blah, blah. And if you can do it for 30 straight days, before you go to bed and when you wake up, I guaranteed quantifiably, you will change your life. You will make more money, help more people, and have more fun with your life. Simply by saying thank you. 9 months I was on stage telling people this, and I couldn't do it. I was the biggest hypocrite in the world. I was sitting there, I knew it to be true, but I missed the night. Oh, I forgot in the morning, start over. Finally, after 9 months, I banged out 30 straight days. 30 straight days, finally, and my life was completely different. You get an effect by doing it 28 days. It'll give you incremental, but if you can stick to something every day, exponential results. Think of the math. It's 1 × 2 × 3 × 4 × 5. If you miss, it has a zeroing effect. It's not 1 to 0, which is 1. It's actually 0. So it's 1 × 2 × 3 × 4 × 5 × 0. This dieting's the best one, right? Because I was the king of this. Because I have discipline, right? I do. I'm very disciplined. So I would diet for 7 straight days, exercise, do everything, and then I go to McDonald's. 0. Then I do it again, and then it'd be chocolate mousse. 0. So at the end of the month, I was super excited because in my mind, I dieted all month. But actually, I zeroed myself out 3 times. So maybe I lost a pound. Maybe I gained a pound, depending on how much water I probably had in my body. Meanwhile, when I learned to do something every single day, my whole body changed. And I do less, yes?
I just wanted to touch up. Like, so I do practice gratitude. I started doing it a year ago. Changed my life greatly. But the problem I've been finding lately is I'm grateful for the same things, which is fine, but sometimes I feel like it's wrong to be grateful for the same things. I'm trying to find new things to be grateful for, and it's hard to find inspiration sometimes.
Yeah, people feel stuck, right? So this is the problem with conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. So number one, there's never a negative energy to being grateful about the same things. I'm grateful about my family every day, my health every day, my wealth every day. Same thing, I love it. Now, I need to prioritize new things to be grateful for. I also have to practice gratitude for things that I'm absolutely not grateful for, right? I'm a time freak. So you can imagine if I got stopped at a red light, it was hard for me to be grateful. But how many times do I think now, man, I'm so lucky that I got stopped. Maybe I'm supposed to learn a lesson. Right? I remember one time I don't have to pick up my son that often, but I had to pick him up from basketball practice. And I was, like today, late, freaking out. And it felt like every single light was red. That's because I was manifesting resistance, right? So every single light, right? And the universe kept saying, lesson, lesson. What was the lesson? I needed to learn to be grateful. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to slow down. Everything will be fine. Meanwhile, the practice went over. I wasted all of that energy, anger, anxiety, frustration, all the way to his practice when he had no idea that I was late. Why? Because I was projecting my insecurity and ego-based consciousness that I wasn't a good father, that I didn't care about my son more than I cared about my work. Guess what? That was the truth. I prioritized my work over my son, and guess what? The universe was teaching me a lesson. Pick your priorities and live by them. Be truthful then. Then you tell someone when you're on the phone, excuse me, I gotta go because I have to pick up my son at basketball. And guess what? I started telling people, excuse me, I have to go to the gym. You're gonna leave this meeting? Yeah, working out is a priority for me, number one priority. If I'm not here, this business deal sucks. So does my family. So, right? I just started telling people the truth. And I feel good about it. And then, funny thing was, when I tell people, they respected me. In fact, I think they were jealous of me, and I still do. Man, I wish I would tell people that more often. I'm going to pick up my son at practice. I'm going to pick up my son at practice. And guess what? When I go pick up my son at practice, not only am I on time, but every light's green. And if it's not, then I'm looking for a lesson why I'm supposed to stop. I'm looking around me. Why am I supposed to stop here? Am I in a hurry? Am I allowing? Wait, the most hyper-aggressive thing isn't the law of Goya. Get off your ass. You don't, everyone have to sell their houses and live in their office to make it happen. It's not the law of attraction. You're not sitting at home high on your mom's couch, sick, broke all the time, dreaming about driving a Ferrari or, staring at your vision board. The law of surrender is the most hyper-aggressive state that we can. It combines the law of Goya, the law of attraction, and it also provides awareness creates the law of surrender. What's that awareness? I'm more aware of what's true. Things are simpler to me. Let me give you, this vibration, this awareness is so valuable. Imagine having the awareness of one thing in this pragmatic world, when to buy or sell. Imagine how fast it would take to be a billionaire if you knew when to buy or sell. Right? I made it a purposeful existence of mine to figure out when to buy or sell. I wanted to focus every day for at least 3 minutes a day on figuring out how to buy or sell. How did I do that? I went to the people and asked them, how do you know when things oversell or overbuy? Right? When people are overselling or overbuying. Why would I do that? Because I know by studying history that the sway of the market, people oversell and people always overbuy. Because why? They're an ego-based consciousness. They live in scarcity. So if you live in scarcity of not enough or just enough, you're always gonna overbuy or oversell. It's human nature. So I have an awareness and I have the help. Get guys who've been in real estate for 65 years and just give them a call and say, hey man, can you help me out? I'm looking for a commercial property. When people are overselling, can you let me know? That's all I wanna know. When you, not the bottom or the top, just let me know when people are overselling. Why? Because if I continually buy and overselling and sell and overbuying, my margins are exponentially greater than anything else I could do. I know when to buy or sell. I can make millions of dollars. Not because I know real estate, because I know human nature. I can do the same thing with stocks, gold, it doesn't matter. All I need to do is find someone that has paid the dummy tech, that has the situational knowledge, that I trust in being able to indicate whether a market's being oversold or overbought. And the truth is a lot of them are common sense. You can see it. That margin. But this awareness comes from a hyperactive activity of the law of surrender. I fight to be aware. What am I aware of? When I'm in ego-based consciousness, so I can go back to center and live in truth, clean my connection to that which inspires me. How can you stay so inspired every day? Why aren't you stuck? Right? These are common questions everybody asks, because my focus is on being inspired in spirit, connected to that energy that's going to motivate me, that feeds me. So many times we keep on surrounding ourselves that bleeds us. Fear bleeds us. People that are negative bleed us. We literally cannot, you've got to cut it off. And if you can't, because you're in a circumstance where you either were born into the bleeding or you're next to the cubbyhole or the office of the bleeding, right? Then the secret to stopping someone from bleeding you is two things. Number one, understand them. Two, pray for their happiness. But don't allow them to engage and bleed you. Right? You can cut somebody off by understanding them and praying for their happiness. That one particle of light will overcome all those particles of darkness, no problem. But I had so many people bleeding me that I lost over $100 million. That's bleeding. But I go back and look at those relationships, I'm accountable. Even in the lawsuit that I was in, all the energy and money and everything that I blame, shame, and justified, this guy caused all this to happen, that's bullshit. I caused it to happen. I could have corrected it at any time. Simple understanding, pray for his happiness, resolve the issue, move on. But I just let it bleed me so I could learn a valuable lesson that I'll never have to learn again, because that lesson is not going to keep on coming. All right, last question, and then if anyone wants books or pictures or...
You stay consistent with your energy in terms of of course you face a lot of different challenges and stuff, but like, no, for example, like for myself, you've got investors that say, why are you Mr. Core, all this sort of stuff.
And just yeah.
So you could be like totally like on top of everything, and then all of a sudden just get this, all this, negative in, just drop right down, and you have another important meeting the next day, but for the next hour, and your energy, it's like, what do you do?
How do you stay consistent with your energy when negative things happen? Right?
Yeah.
Investors tell you, haven't you hit your number? We're thinking about pulling the plug. Your employee comes and quits. Says you're a terrible boss, someone steals from you. Number one, I go back to center. But anytime one of those things that's an illusion to my being, I literally take, this is the law of surrender. I take all my energy and my pursuit, right? I know if I'm pursuing something, I'm inspired. So my pursuit now be not what the outcomes are. My simple pursuit is getting back to center. I'm pursuing the truth. Right, so that means that I'm practicing, number one, knowing that I feel frustrated, anxious, fearful, angry, worried, and I stay right here. I don't worry about that anymore. I stay on the pursuit of getting to center, so then I can understand it and find the light in it. What's the light? The lesson, right? The two M's in life are very closely connected. Mistakes and miracles. They're literally, mistakes are miracles, but you have to be able to practice. Now, put this into a real perspective. This is a good place to stop. These things are hard. Has anyone ever tried playing golf? Anyone? Imagine you get a club for the very first time and I tell you, go play like Tiger Woods. Imagine. Tiger Woods has been playing since he was 4 years old. Almost every day of his life, at least one round. I'm 51 years old. I've been doing this every single day of my life for at least 11 years. So I may make it look easy. Go play golf with Tiger Woods. I've done it. It's disgusting how easy he makes that game look. But the thing is, if I want to at any time, I can start practicing it, right? And I think more valuable than playing golf with Tiger Woods at that level would be to get to center at the level of some of the great thought leaders that are able to be at peace and to have great clarity and vision and awareness so they know how truly not only to be inspired themselves, but to allow inspiration to come through them for others so that other people wake up and have faith. Simple faith. What you think, what you say, what you do, what you believe. Changing your unconscious competencies, your whole personality changes, your obsessions change. It's easy. And when all that happens, the energy comes out. Just try to get better every day. If it takes you 10 years to get to 25%, but you're accelerating, know that it might only be 5 more years to 50, 2.5 years to 100, 1.75 years to 200, 0.75 years to 400, 0.75 years to 800. You're still young. But it ain't gonna happen unless you start today. You'll start, the more you practice, the easier it'll get because you played the shot before. You'll start realizing, I'm only working against myself when I let that guy control and manifest what I want. When we manifest what other people want for us, all we're gonna do is be resentful, right? We don't wanna manifest what other people want for us. I just cancel it. I appreciate your advice. Most people's advice to me, most people's comments and judgments and conditions for me, I carry with a handful of sand. And I'm grateful for it, and I just let it fall through. And every once in a while, somebody gives me a gem, like be kind to your future self, do good deeds, be happy. Just simple, I hold on to those nuggets, and I look at them every day. Too many people, they're dwelling on all of this out here. Most of those people are called relatives, some close friends, right? Those people care about you. It doesn't mean they know what's best for you, and you definitely don't want to manifest what anybody wants for you. Manifest what you want for you. Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.